Silent scan. Silent scan.
Defiance.
Bombs and bits.
You can't control us.
Bombs and bits.
A frightening dystopia.
Bombs and bits.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Open your eyes.
Bombs and bits.
An alternate reality. We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Wow, this is sounding very professional. And because this is the third live edition of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm John, your dedicated and humble host. With me, as always, is Mark.
Greetings.
And the missus.
Hello, I have to get in quick so you can't talk over me.
Well, you talked too long. I could have, but I wasn't ready because you did it last time. Okay. Today's kind of a very special edition, you know, kind of like the Saturday after or the after school specials when you were a kid. A very special edition. We're talking through Afghanistan. You know, so far from what I've seen about Afghanistan, this is a bigger failure than the Titanic, because part of the Titanic was successful. At least the pool is still full, right? That the Titanic has going for it, but Afghanistan has been just a huge mess. Mark, what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far from this ongoing debacle?
Oh my gosh. Well, the phrase I would use is probably not suitable for family viewing, but I mean, it's been a huge mess up. I mean, yeah. And I'll be honest, I think, you know, I'm one of those people that think that we should have left Afghanistan a long time ago. I'm not sorry to see Afghanistan in our nation's rearview mirror, but, you know, that I think that 8-year-olds could have planned the withdrawal better than what our professional elite class has done.
Well, now, if you listen to them, so far I'm hearing rumors that the CIA is saying, well, we predicted exactly that, which is what you'd expect the CIA to say, right? And but the also hearing from the higher levels of the military, oh, we told them that this could happen and that they should be prepared for this.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the problem with that brought this all about, is that we have the leader, you know, the higher ups in both the military and the intelligence services of, you know, they don't want to take a stand. They don't want to commit themselves to anything, you know, and then they just finger point. They're basically they're incompetent.
Well, but look at what the incentives have been for them for the last 20 years. We get to have a war. We get to get promotions. We get to have thousands and thousands of generals. We get to have all this money and all this stuff, and we get to practice anything that we want as far as warfare. And that's just the military. And the CIA, I mean, I've got to imagine that, you know, they just love this sort of nonsense.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going on with the CIA. I mean, they had to I don't think they know what's going on is the problem. I mean, they had to know what was in the works. They, you know, it's my understanding the NSA recorded every freaking electronic communication, phone calls, whatever, in Afghanistan. They had set up that captured everything.
That's like 7 phones.
Well, I don't know. It seems like everyone there owns a cell phone, but you know, the CIA had people on the ground and all of that. I've seen people that did work for the CIA or other agent, you know, 3-letter agencies in Afghanistan that you know, warned that years ago that the Taliban were setting up shadow governments and preparing for when they took over. I mean, this is, you know, like I said, the Taliban did a very good job of building and organizing for this. And our military and intelligence leaders, you know, didn't. It's just they were shooting from the hip the whole time.
Yeah, I was reading that they had gotten something like the order of 1,000 people on 13 flights out yesterday, and I'm going, if there are 10,000 Americans that they're trying to get out, along with, let's, you know, assume another 5 or 10,000 other foreign nationals, you know, that's 20 days.
Yeah. I mean, and in fact, the last estimate I saw said there were 40,000, maybe up to 40,000 Americans in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Which begs the question, I mean, what were they doing there? But that's, you know, that's beyond.
Well, it begs the question of why the hell they didn't get out beforehand. I mean, it was no secret that the military, you know, that we were going to have our troops withdrawn by September 11. You know, and it's, you know, it's, that's only a few weeks away. It's like, were you all waiting to just sort of cram on board a flight on September 10 and leave? Was that the plan?
Well, Joe was pretty adamant that, you know, this was not going to be anything like the fall of Saigon, that things were going to be perfectly fine.
And in one respect, I think the Taliban are not playing the same part as the Vietnamese did, because what I'm hearing right now is the Taliban just want the foreigners gone. They want to be peaceful. They want to let them out. They're not going to make things easy for them, but they just want the foreigners gone.
Yeah, I agree. I suspect that they're being tempered somewhat, because, you know, obviously there must have been some deal set up with Russia and China, where those two countries would recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government. So there's deals that were going on there, you know, and it very well, part of that may be, you know, a general command from Russia and China to, you know, don't embarrass us.
Well, but you know, think about genuine self-interest. Why give somebody like the United States an excuse to come back and stay? Well, you know, why not just say, yes, please leave, take your McDonald's with you, and then they own the country fully outright. All they have to do is have that discipline for another 20 days.
Well, you're correct. And you know, and that may be part of their thinking. You know, the scary thought is, okay, let's say I'm wrong about, you know, China and Russia telling them not to embarrass us, or, you know, they don't care what happens to the Americans there. You know, the scary part is, you know, maybe the Taliban are testing us right now to see what we would do if they decided not to let the Americans go, you know, and we are in fact seeing that apparently it's very difficult, if not impossible, for the Americans there to get to the airport due to, you know, roadblocks and checkpoints set up by the Taliban. And we haven't done anything. I mean, you know, I can assure you that if Trump were in charge of this, you know, first of all, I don't think it would have happened, but even if things had gone down badly like this, you know, the Taliban would have been told very forcefully that, you know, you either let us get our people out or we're going to just start bombing the crap out of all of you.
I believe you're right there.
And, you know, the reality is we're not seeing or hearing anything like that.
Well, it kind of feels to me like we aren't seeing anything at all. I mean, where is our government? The president came out and gave a speech, and that was, what, Monday? 2 days ago? This is an ongoing situation. Where has he been? I'll tell you where he's been.
I'm on vacation.
And the interviews he's given are bizarre. He was talking, he was asked directly by ABC News about, you know, people falling off of airplanes. He said, come on, man. That was 4 or 5 days ago. It was the day before yesterday. I mean, I you know, like a small child, I think he's got his days and his nights mixed up.
Yeah, this and, you know, this, first of all, you know, his health so bad. I mean, we could see even with in the campaign where, you know, they'd roll him out and apparently, you know, give him a bunch of amphetamines or something to get him going for a while. And then, you know, after an hour or so, they'd have to take him away and let him rest for several days. And, you know, this crisis may, you know, may be the breaking point. They don't have enough. They can't cycle him through that process fast enough for him to actually provide leadership.
And in fact, if you look at the teleprompter from his nationwide speech he gave on Monday, the last two words are in a different color from the rest of the text, and it says simply "leave now." So they have to tell the president, or well, the person who's in the Oval Office, it's time to leave.
I'm on vacation. That's...
Yes. But, you know, you got to say Joe Biden succeeded at something. He's a bigger failure than any president in this century. So, I mean, you know, that's number one in something.
Are you saying in this century or in the past century? I think you're right, though. I think he is now exceeding Jimmy Carter as the worst president. Oh.
Yeah, that is ending. So moving along, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about the situation and how it's unfolding. What do we see going on in the next 20 days? The missus, what do you see happening in the next 20 days?
You know, I literally have no idea. And I'm kind of speechless.
Well, then I'll not ask you any more questions tonight. Okay, Mark. No, I'm kidding.
You know, actually, I see sort of a breakdown in the leadership of our military and country, where it's just going to be chaos all the way down to the, you know, Marines flipping burgers at McDonald's there, you know, in Afghanistan.
That really happened. The Marines, one of their tasks was to flip burgers in the only McDonald's in Afghanistan inside the airport to feed.
See, and this is why I don't know what's going to happen in the next 30 days, because we are beyond the realm of absurd now.
Oh, we are.
We are. 18 months of COVID, and then now this on top of that? Who can say? Aliens are just around the corner. It's got to be...
And just imagine the mental distortions that the leftists who are still supporting Biden must be going through. Oh, it must be astounding.
Well, you know, because they're still beating on Trump for all of this, right? But they're also going back and digging up W.
Yeah, I think there's just going to be turmoil in the leadership, because no one's going to want to take, you know, stick their head up and take a risk, you know, because they don't want to get their head metaphorically cut off in the media or some political backlash or anything like that. The Democrats have put themselves in a horrible position because, you know, one, they elected Biden and, you know, picked him for their presidential candidate, who, you know, is obviously on the last, you know, last bit of his life as a person, you know, that understands what's going around. I don't know if it's dementia or something else, but they can't remove Biden, because to do so would make, as, and this was something I was reading earlier today, but the only choice the choice, what would happen is if they removed Biden and Kamala Harris was put in as president, that means that her tie-breaking vote is now gone from the Senate, and the Republicans in the Senate could, you know, if they were able to stick together, could block the a new vice president being put in. And, you know, so my feelings on this is that we're just going to see churning.
Hang on. How about this crazy scenario that they block anyone else coming in, but approve Donald J. Trump? He becomes Kamala's vice president. That would be peak insanity. But you know, and this is part of what I've been seeing as I read across the internet and across people who have some really really good minds. They feel that something is going on, and you know, not the good sort of something is going on.
Yeah, I've seen a whole bunch of articles about that. I mean, I don't know if you want me to. Let's see, there was found this one through Instapundit, but it was by a guy named Tink Zorg, I guess. Anyway, it's called
Tink Zorg 451.
Farewell to Bourgeois Kings. You know, which is probably one of the best analysis of what's sort of happening right now. But his essentially is that what the fallout's going to be is the between this and, well, he doesn't talk about COVID, but this is sort of me paraphrasing it, is between Afghanistan debacle and with COVID, you know, and the nonsense that's, you know, come up with that we're going to see the ruling class are, you know, the administrative professionals that run this country are going to see a loss of legitimacy. So we'll have a legitimate, you know, crisis in that regard. Let's see. Oh, this one doesn't pertain to Afghanistan per se, but Victor Davis Hanson had a recent article, "Are We in a Revolution?" and didn't even know it. You know, and this may well push us down that road a little bit further. Michael Walsh has a good article called "Pullout from Afghanistan Signals End of Liberal World Order," which is, he doesn't go quite as far as the Bourgeois Kings article, but you know, again, we're looking at a loss of confidence in the military leadership and in the ruling elite. So,
I think that's fair. But what I'm talking about is a sense that we are on the precipice of something extraordinarily bad happening. You know, data point. There was a company that's involved with a lot of CIA. I think it was Palantir. They just bought, you know, 50 kilograms of gold. It looks like people are preparing for something extreme.
Uh-oh, honey. I think there's someone at the front door, honey. Hang on just yet. FBI, open up! That sounds serious.
Oh, as long as it's not the ATF. They just like to shoot dogs. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, our dogs are outside tonight, so they're safe.
They're safe, yes.
Well, I mean, I can see that easily because, like, you know, like I said, I at the higher levels of power, you know, they're just, they're trapped. Biden is going to become completely incapable of making decisions. His White House is going to become divided. Everybody else is going to be trying to keep their heads down or whatever at the really highest levels, which means we're going to have this devolve a certain extent. I mean, I expect, you know, either we're going to see Afghanistan, the situation there, degrade, where essentially we don't get any more Americans out, you know, just peters off very quickly, or somebody, you know, some general somewhere just says, you know, screw this, I'm taking control of this operation, and makes things happen.
Well, you look at it with the number of troops that we have over there. I mean, it would make Stalingrad look like a children's sleepover. I mean, we wouldn't be on the good side of that. We don't have nearly enough troops to do anything.
This is something that I've worried about ever since we first sent troops into Afghanistan and decided to start doing nation building. So this would be probably back 2004, 2005, I was having these concerns, but you know, it reminded me of,
oh, you say that now.
It reminds me of the situation that the French had at the end of their war against the I think they called them the Viet Minh at that time, but anyway, what would become the Viet Cong, where they had their troops out in a particular, I don't know if they call it a forward operating base or fort or whatever, but they had this area, and they got surrounded.
You're talking about Dien Bien Phu, right?
Probably. I don't remember the name, but yeah, you know, where they got surrounded. They tried to supply them by air, but they couldn't get them out on by ground. They couldn't get them out by air for some reason. And eventually, you know, it was a humiliating defeat. And that basically was the end of French rule in Vietnam.
You know, I this is going to drag on for weeks, and I think that's going to bleed the support for the current administration. And I think it's going to weaken an already weak president. And I think you know, right now the people that supported getting him into office, kind of that middle of America, the ones that kind of swung that direction, plus, you know, I even think some of the
fake voters. You mean all those dead people?
Yes, the fake voters are probably regretting their vote. But here's one thing that will come into play. I'm not sure how. Apparently, the witches in the United States have all gotten together. And here's a direct quote. As you're all aware, Afghanistan is in a very dire situation. And many of us are preparing rituals and performing incantations to help alleviate the human suffering that's occurring there. The Taliban, as horribly as they've shown themselves to be, are very spiritually aware, and they routinely take steps to dispel, ward off, and weaken magic. They have incantations and rituals of their own, which can at the very best neutralize us, at very least neutralize us, at worst can cause damage to our spiritual selves. So, you know, we have witches preparing to cast spells on the Taliban. So that, you know, we got that, I guess.
I think we're in good hands. Oh, by the way, I have a new sound. This just in from our president, his most recent comment on what our current's going on. Let's go right to the sound right now.
If you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
I think that clarifies it.
Yeah. Well, I feel so much better now.
Again, I think we're in good hands.
There are also rumors of an emerging scandal in the Biden administration as well. This would be the time to strike if you were looking at him as a political enemy and you wanted to release information. And if those rumors I've heard are correct, wouldn't be good. And no, I don't have an inside.
I thought you were setting something up there. I had this ready to go.
Well, here's a thought.
Okay.
Here's something I want to ask. So let's say that the worst the worst that could happen happens in Afghanistan. And we see videotape of American women being, you know, their bodies being dragged to the street or being beheaded or, you know, some other horrible thing happening. You know, what do you think would be the reaction?
I'm on vacation.
I think my take on that is China takes Taiwan.
Okay. You don't think that we would throw more troops back into Afghanistan?
I think we're done completely. I think we're done. I think the American people wouldn't stand for it even under those circumstances. I think we're done. What do you think, Mrs.?
Sounds good to me. That's why you pay me to do color, right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for those outstanding and interesting opinions. Well, that sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that. No, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. No, I think that the utter lack of any sort of strategic sense has made us look so weak on the world stage. I think there's a large chance that Taiwan gets retaken by China quickly, because they're going to say, what is it you're going to do? What exactly is it that you're going to do, United States? If they have any wherewithal at all, this would be an opportune time. Of course, you know, they keep getting stronger in that area and we keep getting weaker and we keep showing that we're getting weaker. Imagine after 3 more years of this utter lack of leadership.
Well, and, you know, another thing we have the low morale in the U.S. right now just because of just how bad everything happened and how quickly it failed. But, you know, another thing that I think is really bothering a lot of people is that the administration is basically telling those Americans that are there, you know, good luck. We're not going to rescue you. We're not going to help you get out or anything. You know,
so long. Thanks for all the fish.
And, you know, the reason why it sort of struck me is because I was just writing the other day about one of the characteristics that you see in empires that are nearing collapse is that, you know, the citizenship reduces, you know, becomes very reduced in value. You know, you don't basically, you know what, when a country's vital and everything, I mean, citizenship is a big deal. It means a lot. You have a lot of perks and privileges and everything that come from being a citizen. And, you know, we don't have that anymore. And I think the fact that they're not even willing to try to help people get out, you know, really underscores that fact, you know, that they don't place any value on us. And, you know, and it shows up in other areas. I mean, I can point to numerous other examples, including immigration issues and open borders and, you know, just the way we're treated at airports and, you know, everything like that. There is the value of being an American citizen has declined. And that's, I think, looking at this situation and where they aren't going to help these people get out, you know, is going to I think wake people up to the fact that, you know, maybe there really isn't anything special about being a citizen anymore.
And yet they'll flock here as long as the monetary benefits are there.
Yeah, it's the money though. It's not the nation.
Absolutely. And that's that could be its whole own single episode talking about just that. All right. So quick answer, Biden, president in a year? Mark?
You know, that's sort of hard because, like I just said, I mean,
I need a quick answer.
Oh, yes.
The mistress?
President in a year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And my answer is no. I don't think he makes it a year, but
I think you're an optimist. I'm serious about that.
Let me add this. If you went out 2 years, I would say no. But not 1 year.
I think the 25th Amendment is looming over him. You know, if they're talking about, they were talking about taking Trump out with the 25th Amendment just because he was Trump, and we're seeing these sorts of behaviors, I don't see how they can keep him in there.
Yeah, but Biden has a D after his name, not an R. And that would put Kamala in charge, and where the hell is she?
Stands for dementia.
Where is the vice president in all this?
I'm on vacation.
That's what she says.
It's my understanding. Didn't she travel to Vietnam?
That's what I heard, that they sent her to Vietnam. still trying to distance themselves from that whole Saigon thing, right?
Yes.
Well, maybe she can take a helicopter back from her embassy there.
I just think people have a short attention spans, especially people in the media, and the media wants him in place. I mean, you already are hearing people starting to, you know, make excuses for him on this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think this goes anywhere.
I think that it won't be the 25th Amendment per se that gets them out. I think it's going to be the equivalent of a palace coup. You know, on the TV, yeah, maybe this is going to be 25th Amendment and all this, but they can't let Kamala Harris have her hands anywhere near the levers of power. So something dramatic will have to occur behind the scenes.
Okay. And Dr. Jill Biden. Jill Biden, the First Lady.
That's Dr. Biden to you?
Yes, that's Dr. Biden. The question is, are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... Oh, wait. Never mind. Sorry.
What?
All that build up and then nothing, man.
She'll be the de facto ruler behind the chair. I Biden's chief of staff is the shadow president. So, you know, which is another reason why I don't think Biden will necessarily disappear quickly. But
oh. All right, so we talked about Afghanistan, the present situation. I talked about Afghanistan the next month. And what are your biggest fears on this before Christmas?
Before Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
About Afghanistan in particular, or just
our geopolitical larger situation in general?
I don't know if China's actually ready to invade Taiwan. They might try it. And I'm trying to remember, I don't remember off the top of my head what months there are, but there's only like a short period of time each year that they would actually be able to go across that strait to Taiwan with, you know, landing craft and everything. So they don't, it's not like they can evade any time that they want. I was just reading a day or two ago that they were putting out contracts to try to convert ferries and car ferries into landing craft, which tells me that, you know, if they're still in the process of building those ships and trying to get them ready, I don't see them invading Taiwan right off the bat. But you know, they could, I think it would be a disaster for China, but, they could,
The missus, what's your biggest fear between now and December?
I'm still stuck on Mark saying car ferries, because when he said that, immediately what popped into my head was Tinkerbell, but like as a big buff Teamsters guy.
yo.
At the car ferries.
Peter Pan. Peter Pan. We got to get the stuff going here. What's your biggest fear? It's not Tinkerbell.
My biggest fear between now and Christmas...
Geopolitically. Mm-hmm.
So we're foregoing domestic policy here.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably got to be number one, is that China does invade Taiwan. Because if that happens, somebody's got to do something. I don't know if it's going to be the U.S.
I think you're both missing the big picture. And what about the United States women's soccer team? What if they lose another game? That would be devastating. Okay. My biggest fear is a tremendous devaluation of the dollar. You know, part of the reason that our currency is not treated as a colorful wrapping paper is because we have a strong military and the ability to project force. That's at least a significant reason. What happened if everybody just decided they didn't want to take dollars anymore? It's
invest, we keep in printing Dogecoin.
Them.
Dogecoin. Dog money. Dog money for the win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any... Well, I mean,
we knew inflation was coming down. I mean, we knew inflation was here. I mean, we see it every time we go to the store. Either the prices are up or the boxes are smaller or both. You know, when you got Tyson chicken, I think it was, you know, stockpiling chicken.
Imagine the price bump that we're going to see in chicken tendies.
The internet will tear its hair out.
Well, for this very first special geopolitical edition of Bombs and Bands and Wednesday Rants, any closing thought?
Oh. Well, for Asia, I think we're going to see Asia. I think we're going to start seeing some water wars break out in Asia, and probably between Egypt and Ethiopia.
See, now when you took that long pause after you said Asia, all of a sudden my brain was transported back to, it was the heat of the moment.
That's where you're going with that.
All right. The missus?
What was the question? I'm producing over here.
Any closing thoughts? Apparently, if you had a closing thought, it would be lonely. Huh?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's my closing thought.
Yeah.
It's getting close to my bedtime. So yeah, that's about it.
Your closing thought is it's close to your bedtime?
You asked.
Oh, okay. That's fairly momentous. Well, I guess we're done here.
You forgot what the IQ was, and so did I. Okay, all right.
Yeah. I've had enough of this.
Well, on that note, we'll be back next week with another edition of Bombs and Bants. And thank you for listening. I'm John.
I'm Mark. And I'm the Mrs.
Take care.
Y'all come back now, you hear?